Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And our God is always faithful. Amen. He's been faithful in the past. He's faithful in the present. And you can look forward to Him being faithful in the future. Amen. What a blessing that is. And thank you for that special this morning. What a blessing just to sense the presence of God in this place. We pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge, and not only for our membership, but for whoever might come through the doors. And it becomes a place of refuge when you know the Lord is in the midst with us, and what a blessing that we can sense that today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verse 11 down to the end of the chapter, chapter 4, verse 21. 1 John chapter 4, if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. We're going to be beginning reading here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we do want to first and foremost thank you for your great love. Thank you for the many opportunities that you present to us to draw closer to you, especially as we look here to this Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday, as we have assembled here, as you have commanded us to do, to worship you in spirit and truth. And I just pray, God, that you would just work in our midst and the lives of all that are here. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. God would use the Apostle John to present great truths concerning God's love. One of the greatest books of the Bible is the book of John, the Gospel of John, and that's the first book of the Bible that I encourage all new believers to look to start with. I mean, you have to learn who Jesus Christ is. And the book of John presents him and his love. What a great, great book of the Bible, the Gospel of John. And God used John to write the book of John. It's God's word, but God used John. And likewise, God used John to write 1 John. And what a great book of the Bible is the book of 1 John, and so much about the love of God and revealing who God is, and God is love, especially chapter 4. But I want to call your attention to verse 18 because I think this is what we're looking at today in the passage of Scripture that we read. The Bible says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out. This is Almighty God in His Word telling us, revealing to us this truth, that perfect love casteth out fear. The statement is, no, there is no fear in love. That's a statement that he's making here in verse 18. There is no fear in love. A truth in this verse is perfect love casteth out fear. And because fear hath torment. God does not want us to be tormented. God does not want us to have this type of fear. Another statement in this verse is, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You don't have it. If you have this fear and torment, then you don't have perfect love. So a question, based on verse 18 and based on the truth that God has given to us and what we're looking at today, hopefully you're plugged in with me this morning and you're wanting this as well, but the question would be, what does it take to cast out fear and torment? That is a life where there is no peace, a life where there is no joy to be found. There might be some in here this morning that you're here, but really in your life, you look at your life, you say that there is no peace and there is no joy to be found. Can I tell you that's brought on by fear and torment? So what does it take to cast out fear and torment? The answer, as we have been given right here, especially in verse 18, is perfect love. So another question that I would pose to you this morning that I trust will answer in the message this morning, but what would be the cause for a person to have fear and torment? What would be the cause for no joy, no peace to be found in life? What would be the cause for a person to have this fear and torment? And the answer, again, as we found it right here, is they do not have perfect love. I mean, what a powerful verse that he's given to us right there that you might have read before, that you've kind of read and just passed over it without really grasping what God has for us. But fear, can I tell you that fear causes anxiety, worry, dread, fright, panic, terror. If we look at the definition of what he's talking about there and that idea of fear, you would find all of that. The torment of fear is one of the worst problems that we face as men and women in this world, because we know that Satan uses that. And there are spiritual battles taking place in our lives all the time. Sometimes we have even greater spiritual battles taking place. But ultimately, Satan is wanting to control that through fear. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, a verse most of us would be able to quote, but for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. This is God's will. This is what God wants us to have, of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you will, a sound mind is void of torment. Amen. So what everyone here ought to be asking right now is, how can I have perfect love? If you understand what he's telling us here and you understand everything that goes along with this and this idea of fear, and there is no fear in love, and perfect love casteth out fear. How can I have this perfect love? I would think that all of us would want to have this instead of fear, instead of living a life of no peace, living a life of no joy, living a life of torment. Not God's will. Exactly where Satan would love to keep you, but it's not God's will. So how can I have this perfect love? And what a powerful passage of scripture we have here in 1 John chapter 4. Because he reveals to us first and foremost that salvation opens the door of opportunity to have this perfect love. Without it, you can't have it. Salvation doesn't guarantee it, but it opens the door to it. See, salvation, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been giving a new nature. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have been giving eternal life. Your name has been written down in the Lamb's book of life. God is right now today preparing a place for us. Amen. We have a place in eternity. We have been adopted into the very family of God. I could go on and on as far as what salvation brings to us. The moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And there has to be a date and time that you can go back to when the Bible says that you were born again. Some people want to say, no, I've always had this. I've always been saved. Listen to me. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are born with a sin nature. And with a sin nature, as soon as we come to that age of accountability, whatever that age might be, I think it's different. But you're aware of the fact that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And you can understand and you can identify sin and the wages of sin being death or separation from God and ultimately eternal damnation. Nation, and you realize that that is who you are and that you have need of a Savior. No one has ever truly received Jesus Christ that did not first of all come to the place to understand, I need Him. Before you can be saved, you have to come to the realization that you're lost. Amen? And so once you come to that realization that you're lost and somehow, some way, somebody presents the gospel, God's plan of salvation to you, and you realize that salvation is dependent upon Jesus Christ and upon Him only, and He paid my sin debt on Calvary's cross. And at that point you say, I want that gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you come to that place that you say, I don't want to go die and go to hell. I want to receive a gift that God has for me, that Jesus died for, and He offers to anyone, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And you say, yes, I want that. You call upon the name of the Lord. Can I tell you, salvation right then and there presented gives you all of those things that I mentioned earlier. But then it also does what John is talking about here in 1 John chapter 4. It opens a door of opportunity to have perfect love. Not automatic. But if you have salvation, you can have perfect love. It begins with, and this is why you can't have it outside of salvation, God in you. Verse 11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God loved us, we ought to also love one another. It says, this is the purpose, the reasoning behind it. But God in me. Verse 9 and 10. I want you to see this. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You have a new nature. You have God in you. Now He wants you to live your life through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice to appease God for our sins. Verse 12 says, No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And His love is what? Perfected in us. So it's God's love that's in you, takes place when you get saved. The Spirit of God comes within. But with the Spirit of God comes the ability to live as God would have us to live and love one another and to do everything else that God would have us do. We'll see that in just a minute. But the idea here, it begins with God in us. And now we have God who is love, God in us. And with God in us, then we have the opportunity to love as God loved us. In verse 13, he says this: "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." God's love in us. I quote all many times as I pray, and as I pray even in our church services, I'll pray this. I'll thank God for loving me, which ultimately has given me the opportunity to love him. It's not that I love God first. It's that God loved me first. Verse 19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." And once we understand that, and I understand that God loved me enough to send his son to die for me, so I must first know who God is, an almighty God who loved me to send his son, who is God the Son, who died on Calvary's cross and offers me this idea of a gift of everlasting life, a gift to be reconciled to God. And I receive that gift. How powerful it is to know that God is in me. And if you have been saved, then you need to understand that God is in you. If God in us, it's God in us that establishes a reason and a purpose and ability to love as God loves. Not everyone has it. Everyone might have been and will be affected by love at some point in their lives. If they were raised in a Christian environment, then they will have more of an influence of God's love upon their life to possibly live a good life. And we look into the world and we say, there's a lot of good people that are blinded to the truth. And there's a lot of good people that accomplish a lot of seemingly good things. And that is a type of love, but it's never going to be perfected love. They have been influenced by that. Now, some are raised without ever experiencing any kind of love at all. And you can see what kind of lives they live and how they turn out. These are the ones that go into schools and just start opening up and killing whoever they can because somebody has offended them. And their life is not worth living. And so before I go out, I'm going to kill everybody that's made my life not worth living. And we could go on and on. And somebody else, I've been deprived, and so I'm going to have what I want. I don't care about anybody else. I can steal from anybody. I can rape whoever I want. I can do this and that. And they can do all types of ungodly things that destroy other people's lives. Those that have not been influenced by love at all, any kind of love. And that's what that sinful nature is. It is the sinful nature that also lives in each one of us. It's what leads men to do those unthinkable things. Whether you realize it or not, you have that very sin nature in you. And I have that very sin nature in me. But when I receive Jesus Christ, no matter how I've been raised, I mean, being raised will help influence us and to do good things. But when I receive Jesus Christ, I have the very love of God in me. And it can be perfected in me to love as God loves. If you don't have God in you, you will never have perfect love. But if you have salvation, it opens a door for us to live a life that is pleasing to God. And a life that is pleasing to God is loving as God loves. and doing as God would have us to do and treating others as God would have us to treat others, because that's God. Salvation opens a door. If you're here this morning and you can't go back to a point in time in your life when you realize I need Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, you need to make today that day. You say, well, I'm not a bad person. Well, the reason you're not a bad person is because you've had positive influences in your life. Praise the Lord for that. You've had positive influence from a parent. You've had positive influence from maybe a teacher. You've had positive influence from others around you. You just happen to be raised in a good neighborhood, possibly, in a good community where they have encouraged you to be a good person, and on and on and on. Praise the Lord for that. But that is not perfect love. That is love, and that has influenced you. But in order to live a life that God wants you to live and to cast out fear and the things that associate itself with fear that Satan wants to use to destroy your life, listen to me, it takes perfect love is what casts out fear. So if you've never been saved, you've got to come to the place in your life where you do what the Bible says a person must do to be saved. You have to be born again. In John chapter 3, read the story of Nicodemus, a religious man, possibly had been influenced by a lot of good things. He was in the ministry himself. But he came to Jesus because there was something missing in his life. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus knew exactly what was missing. Salvation. God's love in him. And he said, Nicodemus, no matter what you've done, no matter what your good works, no matter who you are, you have to be born again. He said, that which is born of the flesh, or physically, birth, is flesh. You have a physical life. And that life has been influenced, good or bad. And praise the Lord for good influences on lives, because that can help them. But it cannot do for them what only salvation can do for them. It cannot put God's love in them. And so he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to have a time and place in your life when you realize that, no, I need Jesus Christ. And at that moment that you call upon the name of the Lord, then you have been now born again, and you have a spiritual birth that gives you an opportunity to live a spiritual life. And with that very same opportunity of living a spiritual life is this opportunity to have perfect love. Amen. I trust that that makes sense to you, because that is exactly what God has for us. This is this idea, this perfect love. You have the opportunity at salvation because you have God now in you. And when you yield to Him, you'll know what decisions that you need to make based out of God's love. Decisions that will affect others. So now that I know that, if you know that, this opportunity, then I must individually surrender myself. No one can do that for you but you. I must surrender myself to love as God has loved me. And again, we go back to, and that's verse 11 there. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought. What is ought? Something that we control. Not that God controls for us. You have a free will. You can continue to hate if you want to. I don't know why anybody would want to live a life of hate. I don't know why anybody would want to hold on to grudges. I don't know why anybody would want to hold on to revenge. Because this is bitterness. These are things that will destroy peace and joy of life. These are things that Satan uses. Revenge. You did this to me. I'm going to get back with you. No, I'm not going to forgive you. All these different, listen to me. And you might have been influenced by that. Maybe somebody's done things to you that is unthinkable. You continue to let Satan get the victory. He had the victory there by that person's sin. It wasn't God's will, but God gives everyone a free will. And when we sin, we affect other people's lives. And so Satan got a victory in your life because of somebody else's sin. But as you continue to let that affect your life and determine who you are and mold you in your who you become, listen to me. Satan is getting the victory. He's still getting the victory in your life. And God says, I want to set you free. I want you to live a victorious Christian life. I want you to have a peace that passeth understanding. I want you to have joy that'll fill your soul. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to cast all that out. A fear and torment of fear. They're giving you an opportunity to have perfect love. But you have to choose. You have to choose, first of all, to have this opportunity by receiving Jesus Christ. Now that you've been saved, it's within you, and you still have to start making right choices, continue to make right choices. You still have to ought. This is what God's will for your life is. Follow that. Follow that. Verse 16 and 17 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Focus on that. No matter how anybody else has treated you throughout your life, if you have salvation, you have the love of God in you, focus on that. Let that be the determining factor that guides your life. Let that be the determining factor that helps you. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And that how we ought to does have a desire to live. Herein is our love made perfect. He's telling you how to do it. You got to yield to God and got to look to do what God would have you to do in every decision of life and walk with God. And experience the presence of God. Herein is our love made perfect. That is what's inside of us, perfect love. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That means that I am living as God would have me to live. And I am making the decisions that God would have me to make. And I am loving as God would have me to love. And I am forgiving as God would have me to forgive. And I am serving as God would have me to serve. Amen. As we love God, we will give ourselves over to obedience. You love God, you understand who he is, and then I have a love now for God. If you have a love for someone, you want to please that person. You want to be all that you can be for that individual. Especially if it's God. And that's what the Bible teaches. Look in chapter 5, the very next chapter, we find here that John writes in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments, listen to me, no matter what they might be, they're not grievous, because we understand this is the way to have the joy and the peace and the blessings of God. No matter what the sacrifice, that's what we need. Perfect love is loving as God loves. It's a lifestyle. It ought to be who we are. Shouldn't have to continue to decide, make a decision on if I'm going to love you or not. Because it's in me, and it's what God would have us to do, and so it's going to be how I live my life. I'm going to be ready to forgive. I'm going to be looking to let love cover. I'm going to be looking to restore. I'm going to be living my life, making decisions that God says are my decisions for your life. Because this is how I would act if I were in your place. I think that was one of the main things. I looked at God and I said, Lord, this is where I'm at. This is a circumstance. This is what I've dealt with. Lord, how would you deal with? How would you respond? How would you love? And I want to respond as God would respond. We have the example of Jesus Christ. We studied this morning in our Sunday morning Sunday school, the deity. It was God manifest in the flesh as an example for us to know how to respond to any and every circumstances of life. It's who we are. It's who we give ourselves to be. Well, as we love as God loves, and this is the end of it, as we love as God loves, we will experience what follows this perfect love. The perfect love is loving as God loves. I think, is that what the scriptures are teaching us this morning? Amen. As I said before, then if we understand all these things, then what everyone ought to know, everyone ought to be asking for is, how can I have this perfect love? The answer is right there, as we've already studied. We looked at the scriptures. You have the opportunity if you're saved. If you're not saved, get saved today. If you are saved and you don't experience it, you're not experiencing this joy and this peace and this happiness and this lifestyle, then start yielding to letting God make the decisions in your life for you by you knowing what God, what Christ would do and how he would respond, and then yielding yourself to doing that. So as we love as God loves, we'll experience what follows this, because now if we're doing that, we have this perfect love. And so what will we experience? Very same verse. Casting out fear, which casts out torment. John 15, we're going to close. I want you to see it. John chapter 15. Again, John, God used him in a mighty way to present the very love of God, like none of the other apostles. John chapter 15. He writes the very words of Christ and what Jesus was teaching all the disciples. John chapter 15 and verse 9 says this. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. See how it's passed down? It's the love of God manifested through Jesus Christ to us, and now us to others. That's perfect. That's perfecting love. Don't go by feelings. Don't go by the eyes. Lust of the eyes, it's lust. Many get confused with lust and love, and they go by the lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and even the pride of life. And you can't go by that. You have to go by what has been passed down from God, who is perfect love, to his Son, which is another testimony of perfect love that touches our lives. And now we're following after that very same perfect love. That's what he's saying here. In verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That means that I am ought to, and I'm yielding to, and I'm living as God would have me to live and making decisions of life. So if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See how it's passing all the way down. These things have I spoken unto you, that my, look right here, very important, my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Even going to the cross, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that there was a joy in the heart of Jesus Christ, because it was part of living out love. And when you perfect love, can I tell you what comes into our hearts? We cast out fear, and as we cast out fear, then we are filled with the joy of the Lord. Deliverance from the torments of fear and the reception of joy. What a great way to live our lives. Ought to be who we are. It's God's will for it to be who you are. What a great way to live life. Loving God with no fear or torment. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what you're facing, if you truly perfect God's love in you, you will have peace in the midst of the storms. You will have unspeakable joy. Do you want it? Can I tell you this morning? Because of God's grace, you can walk out of here with it. You can walk out of here with this opportunity to have perfect love. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.